And Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Yes, that is where you're at for your Monday. I think that's the Jesse lingo. You've got Carrie and Tommy with you.
Yes, that's very good. Jesse is away today.
Should we tell him now that we call it Menstrual Monday? Or
Sorry. Leroy is filling in. Leroy, it's Menstrual Monday. Do you have anything you would like to contribute?
A bit later, maybe.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of Menstrual Monday, I might be drinking it.
You're drinking... Is that cranberry juice?
That's, yes, Ribena.
Oh, well, that's great for the system down there. Do you know what they say?
I'm a Ribena boy.
Not for menstruation, but for
are you telling...
UTIs, I think. Just
also,
the general area.
But also, you have to be careful with that advice because... Drink the cranberry
You've got to drink it. Yes.
Don't just try and pour it down in the affected region.
Sorry, Jesse is not here. He is sick.
He's got Harley Reid-itis, I believe.
That's what you were in the middle
of saying.
Is that
true?
Yes. West Coast have won two in a row and he has a day off.
Right.
Okay.
Hey, so you finished your comedy tour last night.
Oh, can you tell by my voice?
No.
And Carrie, that's incorrect. I finished the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, but my tour is still going till October. So for the rest of the country, I've got a week to recover and I'll see you soon.
But did you have a baby at your show last night?
Did I have a baby at my show last night? Carrie, this may shock you about the end of festival party, but I don't remember who was at my show last night.
Because there was a baby at a very prominent comedian show last night and has caused an absolute uproar.
Yes.
We're going to dissect it all next.
Carrie and Tommy.
Driving you home from 3 to 6. It's Carrie and Tommy this Savo. Jesse's having a spell.
Having a spell?
He's having
a funny expression.
He's on the bench.
He's been put under a spell.
He's having a spell.
He's been hypnotised and they told him not to come into work and to cluck like a chicken. So if you see a man who may resemble a ferret clucking like a chicken in the street,
that's
send
Jesse.
Him back to the station.
Oh, okay, so often when news stories come out, very quickly you know where you stand on the issue.
Mm.
It's something you feel very passionately, strongly about, and then you chat to your friends and you've got your line and you go hard and you either argue with it or you're all in agreement. When I saw this news story we're about to speak about, this morning, I have spoken to about four or five friends today about this story, and quite genuinely, we don't know how to feel about this issue. The issue I'm talking about is Arj Barker, comedian's comedy show last night, and the headline at first, and we'll get to the details of everything because lots of information is coming to light, is that there was, for want of a better phrase, a crying baby in the audience, and according to reports, he asked the lady to leave.
Yes.
I think 30 other men and women got up and walked out in support of the mum, and the internet's gone crazy.
Is that confirmed?
Again, I don't. I'm going to start this whole thing by saying I was not there last night, so all we based on what we're reading.
Yes, but I've also read a comment that has said it happened multiple times through the show and it was disrupting the whole audience.
That's what I...
And
sorry.
So I find it hard to believe that then 30 audience
so
got up.
So as the
out.
Day has gone along,
also,
a lot
tight
of information...
And when they bought a ticket, you know,
a lot of information is coming to light. Now, the first thing I will say is I don't think any new mum deserves to be shamed over anything like this. It's, I mean, the fact that she's even out of the house, I think... This, what we're about to discuss, is one of the reasons you don't leave the house, because you don't really know the rules around where you can and can't go with a baby, and the risk of the baby crying and you having to deal with that crying baby is sometimes so overwhelming, you just stay home. So my first thought is with this mum who today would be like, oh, now she's got a young baby and all of this to deal with at the same time. But so what happened in this show is hard to say. Whether the baby cried once or cried multiple times, everyone's got different reports of what happened. Some people have said the way that Arj dealt with it was actually fine, and then that several times it happened, and then he eventually asked the lady to leave. Others have said they found it incredibly rude. the way he dealt with her, and then other people left with her in support of her. So who knows? I don't know what actually happened in that moment.
Yes. Well, I've had this happen multiple times over.
So that's what I was interested in. Do you often have babies at shows like this?
I believe not often, but I mean over the years it's happened enough times that I have a stock standard approach. And I think I was actually mentioned in one of the comments in the articles, which I literally say when the baby's crying, I stop the show and I just say, hey, mum, bub, there's no need to be embarrassed. I'm just checking you both okay. Feel free to get up and walk around, do whatever you need to come, baby. And if you want, go out for a bit, come back, but, you know, don't feel embarrassed. It's obviously not ideal, a crying baby being in a comedy show. And it's probably not encouraged to bring babies to comedy shows. I read this and it's so ridiculous. This is how the comments on things are always way worse than the things itself.
Yeah.
Look at this. Name him. At this point, it was an unnamed comedian. Name him. What he did was illegal. Breastfeeding is protected by law. And I'm like, no. In shows, you have age limits to shows. And even though if you have a baby, of course, we want you to be able to come and see the show. Particularly, there are sometimes circumstances when you might have bought tickets to a show a year ago and you might not have planned on having a baby. You shouldn't then have to give up your tickets. Just bring your baby and come along. But like this extreme reaction, I'm like, that is not helpful for anyone.
Well, I saw a lot of people arguing with each other online because that's what often happens.
Yeah,
people start.
Fun.
And there was people saying that they were at the show and it had nothing to do with the breastfeeding because a lot of people said, you know, when you're a breastfeeding mum, your baby goes where you go. And as long as it wasn't going to be too disruptive, bringing them to a slow show that they're going to sleep through, what's the problem with that? Like, it's nice to be out of the house and have a laugh for an hour when life's feeling pretty overwhelmed at that time, was a lot of the comments online. Yes. This person said it had nothing to do with the breastfeeding. The baby was crying and throwing the comedian off his jokes. He had to stop his performance multiple times as he lost focus and the audience was bothered, right? And then it goes on to say that, you know, babies shouldn't be at comedy shows and it was 8:45 at night and all that kind of thing. And then that's the thing that I was having a conversation with friends about because I was like, so what should you and shouldn't you take a baby to? Because my first thought was how awesome that she took her baby and, you know, as long as she was respectful and I didn't know at this point whether the baby was crying lots or not at all.
Where generally speaking.
Of course. Like so Leroy was saying, because the thing I thought is as a comedian, so I have a right to take my breastfeeding baby to your show, but then do I have to respect the fact that you are doing a show and a performance
Even on that, like I don't think, and I'm saying if you do have your baby and want to come to my show, I'm not encouraging you, but I'm certainly not going to exclude you. But I don't know if you actually do have a right because
there's
an age limit.
Oh, so no one under 18 can come.
Yeah, or
I mean, also the content, like baby's ears.
Completely.
You know?
But what I mean is, like, as soon as people even start saying
they've got a right to take their kid.
I don't think you do.
Yes. And also, but also, I was thinking you've got a right for respect for the thing you're doing, which does require timing and silence and all of that. The same way Leroy was saying, if you took a crying baby to the tennis, everyone would be outraged,
those
right?
Toffs would hate it. They would hate it.
But then where, and then at what age? So
no,
say you take a breastfeeding baby.
Bad idea.
Of course.
Yes.
Unless strapped in the Bjorn, obviously. But like where, so okay, so say you take a baby, but when they become one, surely you're saying there's some places a toddler wouldn't be welcome, but the baby is. At what point do you then go, that baby's too big to be coming to that thing? And if a four-week-old is being breastfed, is it feel okay? But if they're being bottle-fed, does everyone go, well, then they don't need to be there. So then that's discriminating against women who aren't feeding and are bottle-feed. Like it's just so complex.
Because even kids at a pub, like no one worries. Or sorry, I don't, but, you know, some people are miserable. If you're at a pub and there's kids running around and stuff, it's quite nice. But suddenly if it was 15-year-olds,
Yes, because there's an age that kicks in where you go, that's not okay.
Yeah.
But I'm interested on 13 10 60, and let's not heap all over this particular scenario and this particular woman who's just doing her best with her bub. I'm genuinely interested. Nah, what?
No, yeah, I agree.
Oh, yeah, you're like, nah, let's see.
No.
I was like, what?
No, sorry.
But I'm genuinely interested in 13, 10, 60 on people's thoughts because I don't know how to feel, and I'd love to try and work out how to feel about where and when you can take babies to things, where's appropriate, where's not. And if someone's annoyed at you having it, do you have a right to be like, oi, like, no, I'm allowed to be here with my bub? Or is there some places that when you have a kid, you just don't go for a bit? I don't know. 131060, give us a call.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Monday afternoon, it's Carrie and Tommy.
We're talking about where and where not you should take babies.
Yes.
Because there was an issue at a comedy show last night where a mother and a baby was asked to leave because the baby was crying, and there's lots of different versions of events of whether, you know, the baby had been crying for a while or a short period of time and how that comedian dealt with it, whether they dealt with it nicely or not.
Yes.
But it got us having lots of conversations around, do you take a baby to shows, and is that fine? And should you be able to just breastfeed where and when you want, which is what we want the world to be, accepting of mums being able to breastfeed anywhere. But what happens when the crying starts? Is that problematic for someone that may require a quiet, you know, show because you've got timing, and whether, you know, you have a right as the artist to be have respect for your show? Why are you smiling?
No one's ever called me an artist. It was so nice. I'm a purveyor of fine Wang jokes. I'm an artist.
Well, no, it is an art form.
It requires timing,
obviously, but at the same time.
It's taken 7 years. The respect I deserve.
At the same time, just getting out of the house is hard when you've got young kids, and it would have just been a nice, joyous hour to go have a break from the mundane and have a laugh.
And as I said, yes, anyway, sorry, I'm not going to do this again.
What?
I was just going to say that obviously it's not encouraged or ideal, but I've had many times where there's been babies at my shows and I want the mum and the bub to feel comfortable. And whenever I've had that interaction with them, they've always been lovely and understanding, and the whole show's
no, because no mum wants their baby. They're like crying loudly.
Yeah, completely.
But also, no, so what's the difference between like a drunk heckler being a pain in the ass and a poor mum with a bub? Do you know what I mean? Like, sure, you've had more annoying people in your crowd.
They get kicked out quite often too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Right. With aggression. Christine, how are you, Christine?
I'm good, thank you. How are you guys?
Yeah, good. Thoughts?
Thoughts are babies and toddlers at concerts. I'm sorry. It's just a no.
Okay.
Okay, so that's a firm stance. Why? And obviously this is not a concert, it's a comedy show, so slight difference. I guess it's not loud, but why do you think no?
When your babies, you know, are a little bit upset or they just want that little bit of comfort, there's nothing you can do regardless, you can't enjoy yourself. So there's a time and a place.
So it's more for the parent, Christine, you're saying
exactly.
No. Then what if you don't have babysitters, though, or can't afford babysitters, or you don't have family to help out? Does that mean you just don't go to something for the first few years?
Pretty much, yeah. I've got four kids, and if I can't get a babysitter, I stay at home.
Christine, did you sound like potentially this is informed by a particularly bad personal experience? Did you try and take one of your kids to a concert and it was
no, not particularly bad. Like, I'm a massive Pink fan.
Yeah.
And my kids knew that I had a great time when they were little, and I took them in 2013. My girls were 8, 11, and 13. They had a great time. They fell asleep in the car before we left the car park, but now they don't really remember it. But I was at Pink recently at the Gold Coast, and there was a lady with a toddler in a baby carrier in the standing, and I'm like, how is that good for you to have a good time? You can't sing and dance and have the best time. So, yeah.
Fair enough, Christine. Thank you for getting involved. Should we go to Steve? G'day, Steve.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. When was the last time you breastfed a baby in public?
Oh, mate, it was only the other day. mate, look, I disagree with Christine. Look, I think that obviously, you know, babies need routine and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, brand new babies, mate, they do three things. They sleep, they eat, and they poo.
Yeah,
they can do that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Good on her for going out and having a good time.
Yeah.
You know, mate, look, breastfeeding, there's nothing wrong with that. It's you know, part of life.
Yes.
Mate, baby stirs once or twice. You know, they're always going to be people that get upset and carry on about it. Mate, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, we live in a world now where parents revolve their whole lives around their kids.
Yeah.
And that's how it shouldn't be that way.
Steve.
You know.
Steve, I agree with
I'm not sure
with
what
everything.
Steve's thoughts are, though.
Oh, I think Steve's saying you
just
can
take your kid.
Yeah, you can take your
but
kid.
But what if the kid starts crying? So take, like.
But he's saying.
Bub stirs once or twice.
Yes, it's
people
fine.
People are
going to
get upset. Who cares?
I agree,
if
Steve.
I
agree. Who cares? But I think there is another factor here is when we talk about these things generally, I agree with everything that Steve says. But sometimes people not all people are reasonable and not all people react in a good way. Mm. So there might be some instances where a bub, like I said, when I've had bubs in shows and I've said to the mum, I said, hey, I just want you to be comfortable. So do whatever you need. And if you want to duck out, feel free. But if there can be a world where that mum would have just responded to me and said, get on with the show, prick.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have taken kindly to that. So sometimes people can be arsed.
But also, so for the other 1,900, and I mean, that'd be a big show if you had that many people, but I'm sure you do occasionally, 2,000, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Well, I was just plucked a number and then wasn't sure if I was overestimating.
I've just done 1,000 for a month.
All right, I get it. So for those other 1,900 people, though, who have paid to go see your show, do they want their show disrupted? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, completely. But that's what I'm saying. Like,
you can't account for everybody's reaction.
Yes.
Georgie. Hey, Georgie.
Hello, how you going?
Very well. How are you today?
Really good, thank you.
What are your thoughts, Georgie?
I think that mamas can take their baby wherever they want to. I have a little boy who's 15 months, and I just think that if I didn't do the things that I wanted to do, like my mental health would be so poor.
Yes.
And so I'm like an absolute advocate. If obviously, like if it's really loud or, you know, if it's a concert, you want to, you know, make some adjustments, bring baby a headphone or something like that. But apart from that, like,
is there anywhere, Georgie, you wouldn't take a baby?
Probably like the opera, but apart from that, like my little guy went to the World Cup, the Women's World Cup in Brizzy. Like he goes everywhere with me, and I think it just makes for a really good connection for him and I, but also like our family getting together and doing things. And Tommy, I'd take him to see you. Like,
yeah, and I'd happily have you, Georgie, and I would love that. But what about on the technical aspect, which is shows or movies or anything that do have an age limit on them?
Oh, yeah, okay, I get you. So, like, we do the babies event cinema, like, the event cinemas have a baby session. So where there's, like, adjustments, for sure, definitely take them up. But, like, I think if it's an adult only, absolutely not. You do want to respect everybody else that's there. But if it's, like, an open concert or an open show, there's no restrictions on it, then I don't see why not.
Good
on you,
Georgie.
When I was – Ollie was younger, when you'd go to the movies, there was always a baby room. So I'd go to the movies with him, but I'd go sit in the baby room, which was often worse because you wouldn't have the only baby in a room crying. There'd be like five and you'd be like, oh my God, can you keep your baby down? Like, because yours would be having the 5 minutes where it wasn't making noise. And then you'd be like, I don't want all this other noise. My baby's finally quiet.
I love when you do this because this story has changed so much for on air, because before the show, what you used to do was go put Ollie in the baby room and then you'd go to the next cinema and watch it.
That's a great idea. Kelly. So you were at a premiere this morning with a crying baby, is that right?
I was in Barrel for the premiere of Bridgerton season 3. So everyone's there all dressed up fancy. There was tiaras, fancy jewellery, ladies in bonnets, men in suits, and then there was a baby crying on and off throughout the premiere. And when the lights came on at the end, there was also quite a few young children in the audience. And I don't know whether that's age appropriate for the Bridgerton series, but well-behaved children.
But how did you feel about, and how did you and the audience feel about the crying bub, Kelly?
Oh, the crying bub, you kind of look around like, where's the baby crying from? What's happening? And my mother-in-law next to me said, why would you bring a baby to this? So, just a little bit.
But maybe that's generational too.
Well, if you got really caught up in the whole theme and times of Bridgerton, you could have given a good paddling.
Carrie and Tommy. Driving you home for your Monday arvo, it's Carrie and Tommy for Australian Natural Gas is helping keep the country running. Find out more at keepthecountryrunning.com.au. The guys have got hopefully $100,000 to give away today with the time game.
That is very exciting, $100,000 on the line. Every day.
This morning, I vomited in my hand, and I'm going to tell you why next.
Great.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Right around the country and around the world on the listener app, this is Carrie and Tommy.
Yes.
That feels nice.
Yep, global.
Jesse never says that we're global.
No. We need to have a word.
Just make that up.
We need to have a word with Jesse. But we did not know how massive our show was and the impact it was having in places like the stands, in places like Alaska.
Yes. Shall we have a listener in Canada?
Just one. Yeah.
Why are you doing one? We've got globally listeners everywhere.
So
you spewed in your hand. Yeah.
So when you're a kid, right, there's certain things you can't do that are tricky to do. And then when you're an adult, magically you learn how to do them. And that's what happens with growing up, you learn how to do things.
Carrie, I think I need to have a word to you about your parenting because don't you get taught how to do things? I don't think you magically.
No, you don't get taught everything. Sometimes you just learn the ways of the world, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your parents didn't teach you everything you know.
Like, I think they quite literally did. My mum taught me everything I know.
Did your mum teach you how to cook? Anything.
No.
See? Learned the ways of the world as you got older.
That's true.
Anyway.
But that wasn't magically. I started reading recipes.
One thing I couldn't do when I was a kid, like could not do it. Like I take my hand off to my 9-year-old Evie because she's quite good at it. I could never swallow tablets. I just couldn't do it. Like I just couldn't swallow a tablet. It would sit on my tongue, then it would start to dissolve and then it made me gag. And
throw your head back?
Okay. So as a result, as an adult, to take a tablet, I literally have to have my head pretty much clocked backwards, like, you know, as if it's like one of those comedy things where it's flipped right back, right? Yeah. And I put the tablet in and then I have to drink the water upside down and it's so theatrical. It's such a debacle.
Why don't you just do what I do with my dogs and crush it up and hide it in food?
I thought you were going to say shelf it or something.
Why would I do that with my dogs?
I'd never thought to crush up my tablets.
Sorry, did you have a dog growing up?
No. Sorry, we did, yes, but I never fed it its tablets.
Did you shelve it? It's tablets.
No, I didn't shelve it. It was a joke. Thought that's what you were going to tell me to do with my tablet.
Why would I tell you to do that?
Because often you say funny things. You're a funny person.
But why wouldn't you hide it? Just hide it in your own food.
You do you, and I'm going to do me. And I didn't know.
I didn't think
to crush up my tablets. I just avoid them if I don't have.
Why are you angry? I'm literally trying to help you.
Because you just. I was. Anyway. So this morning.
I'm sorry, but you insinuated that I put tablets up my dog's
bum. I didn't insinuate you put your tablets up your dog's bum.
You did. We can replay the audio.
No, it was a joke. Since when on this show did you stop having a sense of humour?
No, I just didn't think that. I thought that crossed the line.
Okay. So
Mum and Dad, stop it, please.
This morning I had to take, so I've got these new de-bloating de-bloating pills.
Are they called Degas?
Because
I feel like I've
seen them. They're called something else. Because I saw them on the internet. Honestly, I can't eat anything without my tummy looking like I'm 6 months pregnant. And then the gas situation. I don't know what's going on. So I thought I'm going to try to get my guts right. But I opened the thing and it said you have to take 4 tablets every day.
No.
I'm sorry if you can't fit what you need into one. Something wrong with your combination of drugs.
Yes.
Okay? So I have to take 4 of them. Plus I've got my probiotic I've got to take. Plus I've got my magnesium. So I had to take 6 tablets, right?
Yeah.
By the 4th, I was already because as soon as it's like my brain starts saying, oh, you're going to gag, I then start gagging.
Yep.
And I thought, what if I take 2 at once just to get it over with? Rookie error. Took 2, vomited it all back up. Into my hand.
Oh no! Did you have
and
to
then
pick
I
them
had,
out?
But then I had the trouble. No, I didn't pick them out. I just looked at them down there, and then I thought, "Has any gone down?" And I did that thing you do when you've got a baby that spews, trying to work out how much has actually come up and how much is still in there to work out how many more tablets I then had to take. And then I decided, I'm just going to be bloated and gassy today. I'll try again tomorrow.
Okay.
But it made me think, what things that you're meant to be able to do as an adult? Like everyone here, I'm sure, can take tablets. Can you all take tablets? Yeah, pretty straightforward.
Producer Georgia. Can she take tablets?
He's in a mood.
My
don't worry.
Listen to this show.
Yeah, 131060. What adult thing can you just not do? I cannot take tablets. Basic thing I cannot do. 131060. What can't you do?
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy taking your calls on 131060.
I can't take tablets. I'm a grown woman who can't take tablets. I was trying to take my de-bloating tablets this morning. 4 of them. Too many. Plus my magnesium. Plus my probiotic.
What order of importance?
Well, the bloating is an issue.
Okay.
And it was only my first morning of taking it too, so I was fascinated to see if it was going to work.
Yeah.
For all of your sakes, really.
Yes.
You didn't have to hear me farting throughout the show.
I quite like it.
Do you?
Yeah, yes, I think it's endearing.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I don't fart during the show, if you're listening. I keep it quiet. But I ended up vomiting them all up into my hand because
all your farts.
I couldn't swallow the tablet. Adriana, what thing can't you do as an adult that you really should be able to do?
I'm exactly like you, Carrie. I can't swallow tablets, but from a very early age, I learnt that if you put water in your mouth first, tip your head back, and then put the tablets in.
That's what I do. That's exactly
with
what
the
I
water,
do. I put the water in
before.
Mm-hmm. And then I go,
So you're dropping them in a swimming pool.
You're probably putting too much water in your mouth.
Okay, so because I do that. That's how I got to the point in this point in life, Adriana, where I've had to take tablets. I've done that. But this morning it didn't work.
No, small amounts and you just pop them all in and it's kind of like keep your mouth like puffed out like a fish and then swallow it. And it kind of doesn't touch the sides, it doesn't touch your tongue and makes it a lot easier. Oh.
Is there any reason, Adriana, why we don't just crush tablets up and then put them in like a little bit of Coca-Cola or something?
Probably if there's people around and you're just trying to have like a Nurofen, they might be thinking you're trying to drug somebody. So I don't think it's advisable. Yeah.
No surprise, you're the one suggesting it. Yeah. Ash, what adult thing can you still not do?
I cannot tell analog time, so a clock with hands.
That's me. Ash, I had to learn to get my pirate's license. Same.
I cannot do it. Do it.
Just get your pirate's license, Ash, and then they'll force you.
So can you do it now, or do you still struggle a bit?
No, still can't do it. Like, if you said half, like, people say half past to me, and I'm like, what? I understand, like, you know, o'clock, but anything other than that.
Did you say half past?
Like half past?
Oh, half past. I was going to say that's your first problem, Ash.
Half past.
Yeah, I used to get in real troubles, Ash. As soon as the hand, the like big hand, was round the left hand side of it, I was like,
so
oh, nah, we're in tricky time. In real tricky time. Thanks, Ash.
What about Jody? Hey, Jodes.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, good. What adult thing should you really be able to do but you can't?
Reverse a trailer.
Oh, that's, Jody, that's very tricky for anyone.
I grew up with horse floats. I've got a caravan. I pull up somewhere, I get out of the car and find someone to reverse the trailer for me.
I was going to say, thank God, Jody, because, I mean, of all the things to, like, you reversing a trailer, if you get it wrong, that's bad. If you reverse a horse float and you get it wrong, it's pretty bad.
Carrie and Tommy. That is where it's at for your Monday. It's Carrie and Tommy driving you home.
Yes, Jesse is away. That is the voice of Leroy here. Jesse, we wish you the best. All he said was it was an issue with his manhood. So hopefully that recovers very quickly.
A big show still to come. We speak to the beautiful Andy Allen as he reflects on obviously the launch of MasterChef, but always also 1 year since the passing of good friend Joxon Frillo. He'll be talking about all of that later in the show, which will be emotional, I'm sure. But up next.
Up next, because I rarely get excited by the news, but the news that happened over the weekend has got me so excited and it's going to go on for a while and I'm going to tell you about it next.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy. Driving you home from 3 to 6, it's Carrie and Tommy this Savo.
And because something amazing has happened over the weekend.
What?
Oh, my God. How much do you have beef?
Like teriyaki or?
No.
I do like it.
No,
I've just started marinating beef.
Guess again.
Oh, it makes stir fry so much better if you leave it overnight.
Guess again. We don't all have time to do that, mate.
Bolognese, like that too.
Guess again.
Different beef?
Yes.
Scallions? No.
What? Beef scallion?
Beef scallion.
What's that?
Isn't that like a slab of beef that you've pounded?
Oh.
Got my hands.
Isn't
that
good luck,
scallion?
Men of the future.
Eli, don't mind a stroganoff too.
That was my whole teenage years. No, my favourite type of beef is hip hop. I love a bit of hip-hop beef.
I don't think I'm familiar with hip-hop
beef. So the most famous beef of all time.
Tupac
and Biggie. And what happens when there's beef in the hip-hop world is they make what's called diss tracks
don't
about
they
each other.
Pop, pop.
Well, they but often.
Isn't that what happens?
But that is what happened at the end then, yes. But it starts with a diss track.
Okay.
So you'll release a track targeted at one person. Mm-hmm. We have a tiny bit here.
Is it a bit what Taylor's done? On this album, there's a diss track on that one.
Is there?
Yeah.
To who?
To...
It's got to be another muso.
Is it Kardashian? No, isn't it Kim?
Anyway.
Nobody cares.
Got a bit here of Tupac's, one of his famous diss tracks towards Biggie. We can only play a tiny bit and it's heavily beat.
That's why I fat my
So you can't even hear what he's saying, twins.
But you can tell it wasn't very nice.
No. So, surely they can be more creative than just saying swear words.
So
like Taylor finds creative ways of doing it, you know? That's all I'm saying.
Let me have fun with my hip-hop beef, Gary. But so there's been a new development. A little while ago, Kendrick referenced...
Lamar.
Yes, Kendrick Lamar. Yeah. Referenced Drake in a quite unfavourable light on one of his songs. And over the weekend, something that I never thought would happen, Drake has dropped a diss track.
Oh, can I just ask one question? Because I'm just trying to keep up. What's Kendrick's issue with Drake? Why did he do the diss track?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Oh, no one knows?
No, someone knows. We just don't have time.
Oh, sure. And so the diss that happens in the diss track doesn't really tell you details, just that he doesn't like him.
Sorry, it's just a mention. It's not a whole track.
Soliloquy.
Right? It's not a diss track.
It's not a whole track.
Yes,
okay.
But something that happened on the weekend, and I thought it never happened, Drake has dropped a diss track aimed precisely at Kendrick Lamar. I never thought Drake would do that because he's not known as being gangster. He's from Canada. Like, it's not.
Is the Drake the one that got his willy out in the plane?
Yes. That's more his thing.
Yes.
Scallion. He's beef scallion. That's what he got out there. But the more amazing thing, do you know who else is on Drake's diss track?
Who's got any sights?
No, he joins Drake on the diss track.
Oh, sorry. They both don't like Lamar.
Yes, do you know who it is?
Who?
Tupac and Snoop Dogg.
What?
Yeah, confusing, isn't it? So he got Tupac and Snoop Dogg. Snoop is very close with Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
So that is shocking, obviously. Mm-hmm. And Tupac is dead.
Yes.
So that is very shocking.
Yes.
So what he did is he AI generated their voices and he got them to encourage, basically on the track, they're encouraging Kendrick to fire back and man up and actually face Drake.
You can't
put
words in a dead man's mouth.
Well, he did. He's Tupac.
Kendrick, we need ya, the West Coast savior. Ain't great in your name and some hip-hop history. If you deal with this viciously, you seem a little nervous about all the publicity. Canadian light skin dot. We need to know the baby.
Did he ask Snoop before using the Snoop bit?
Did he ask Snoop?
Yes.
No.
Why is that a funny? Why is that?
Because Snoop's one of Kendrick's like closest music allies and friends.
Oh, okay.
So I don't reckon a phone call, hey, bro, oi, I'm just going to have you on a track about the beef. You're on my team now.
Oh, sorry, because he's on the other side. I get it.
Yeah.
It's just hard to keep up.
It is hard to keep up. So that was Tupac basically calling Kendrick weak for not stepping up to the beef on Drake's track. And then he passes the mic over to Snoop.
Unless this is a moment that you tell us it's not really you. In that case, there's nothing left to say. I just pass it to Snoop.
Yes, you. What really got to do?
Oh, my God.
And then, Carrie, of course, Drake gets involved in his own song. But the thing you need to know about this bit is it references Kendrick, who has done a song with Taylor Swift.
The first one really only took me an hour or two. The next one is really about to bring out the coward in you. But now we gotta wait a week, cause Taylor Swift is your new top. And if you about to drop, she gotta approve. This girl really about to make you act like you not in a feud. She tailor-made your schedule with Ant, you out of the loop. Hate all you corporate industry puppets, I'm not in the mood. I love it when you...
Imagine if you just added a rap to any argument you wanted to have with anybody, and suddenly it's okay. Do you know what I mean?
Here's the thing, Pickers. This is exciting in my news.
No,
world,
but I'm into it. I didn't realize beef could be exciting.
But here's what we only ever hear about the big beefs, right? You only ever hear about the famous beefs, and I want to know about the other ones. I want to know about the ones that never get the airtime.
Oh, when Terry really pissed you off.
Yeah, or when your neighbour threw his dog turd over your backyard. Mm. Give us a call, 131060. I want to hear about your beefs that you think, why isn't this making international news?
Great.
Cheryl from down the street, you won't believe what she's done. Give us a call, 131060.
Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Monday arvo, that's Carrie Bickmore singing with Tommy Little.
Yes, and we're talking beef. Oh, we should also talk $100,000. That is on the line later in the show. But now we're talking beef because it's kicked off. Drake, Kendrick Lamar, they've got beef. And I thought, because why do we only hear about beef when it's global superstars?
When it's hip-hop related.
Yes.
I mean, although I've now come on board, and I do think that's the only way beef should be delivered.
Yes.
Through hip-hop.
Hip-hop. Yes. I agree.
I'm going to come up with a stroganoff. Based hip hop song.
That is good. I think Snoop Dogg has a cookbook.
Does he?
Or no, maybe I'm. Coolio definitely does.
Right.
But anyway, and so we want to know about your little beefs, your neighbourhood beefs. What's Beryl from Buddy Number 24? What's she done?
Marie, have you got beef with somebody?
Yes, not long ago this happened. So I was at work and some lady went to my house and my partner was home at the time, and she knocked on the door and said to him, it's like, oh, your wife has my husband's keys. And he's like, what? So basically she's just like, no, I want the keys back. These are his work keys. He works for a company that does like industrial, like gardening and stuff like that at like the parks. So I was at the park with my kids, but he said that he saw me with the keys around my neck, which was my house keys. I had a dog with my kids, and he didn't come up to me and ask me or anything. But
Leroy,
she's like,
can you
I'm
just for a second. I just need to speak to producer Georgia. Was that you?
It was Ben.
Benny, I know you're new, but that was dog shit.
Can you explain her beef? Because she can't.
Benny, can you come in here?
Because I was going to suggest we put a hip hop beat behind all of these, and then they've got to give us their beef, but with the hip hop music playing. I'm glad I didn't suggest that. Marie would not have posted that.
So, Benny, firstly, what was it? Because you, obviously, for people who don't know, the call was they go to you first, and you put the most captivating ones to air.
Especially first, too. You normally lead with a real strong one.
What was it that got you about that story that, to be honest, went for 12 minutes and I still don't understand?
Well, we didn't have much.
Many callers, you mean. Can you at least tell us what ended up happening with Marie?
Well, I couldn't really finish the story either.
Had she stolen the keys?
Yeah.
She had?
No.
Oh, you don't even know. He doesn't even know.
Is this one, next one yours?
Stacey. Yeah, Stacey is one.
Okay. Good luck, everybody. G'day, Stace.
Hi, my beef is also work. I did this job with this lady. I don't work there anymore. And we did the same job and we worked different shifts. And she would always put her leave in before mine so I couldn't have leave either.
Oh, that's so good. Annoying. That's Benny. Good. Benny,
yeah,
you're back.
Like, you're back.
Stacey, that's real like underhanded stuff, you know?
Yeah, and she would go like behind, like super quietly to our manager in like August to put leave in for Christmas, and I'm not even thinking about Christmas at that point.
Of course.
And then I'd be like, oh, I want these days off for Christmas, and my manager would be like, oh no, so-and-so has already got that. She's going overseas, like it's non-refundable.
Stace, obviously, when shots are fired in a beef, shots have to be fired back. What do you do? How do you get it back?
What do I do? I would not reply to her emails.
Yes.
And like just little things like that, or like they're like, oh no, sorry, I didn't see your email, or just delete it completely. Like not just delete it, just completely delete it.
Yes.
So then she like looked bad. And I was like, well, I could work over Christmas and not even like have a week off over Christmas. I had to come in on the non-public holidays.
Honestly,
as well.
If you put a hip hop beat behind Stacey, she would have killed it.
I know.
Absolutely.
Someone would have ended up dead by the end of the show. Good on you, Stacey. You're back,
best
Benny.
Best call we've ever had, I reckon.
You've taken that too far. G'day, Adam.
Hello.
What's your beef?
My beef is when my wife and kids change the volume to an uneven number. Like, it really, really annoys me, eh?
On the TV, so if it's sitting at 43.
Anything like the TV, the radio, and I know as soon as they do it without even seeing, and that's my beef. It annoys me. Like, my workmates do it now. My kids' friends do it.
But what? Optimum volume is 43.
But that's uneven. You're just wrong.
Carrie and Tommy. Driving you home from 3 to 6, it's Carrie and Tommy the Savo in a well-panelled and anchored show, I would have thought.
Yeah, you've done a great job so far. Yeah, you were that until that bit, yeah.
Of course.
Leroy filling in for Jesse, yes. Who's away.
Yeah, well, he said something about his appendage. I'm not sure what that is, but I assume whatever it is, it'll be sorted. There's $100,000 still to come.
Imagine if it goes off the day he's not here.
Oh, I know.
It'd be so disappointing.
And they can't fix his appendage.
I know.
What a...
Gosh. Well, last time I worked with you guys, you gave away $30,000 accidentally.
Oh, that's right.
I was there that day.
I'm never allowed to give $30,000.
So I could be the good luck charm.
Oh, my God, you
that's
could
true,
be.
Leroy.
Leroy.
Stay tuned.
Make sure you stay tuned, yes. But up next, it's hard to believe it has been nearly a year since we lost Jock Zonfrillo. One of his good mates is here to talk all things Jock, and also one of our favourite shows on TV, MasterChef. It's Andy Allen. He's up next.
Carrie and Tommy. Carrie and Tommy.
Around Australia for your Monday arvo, it's Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
It is always exciting when MasterChef returns to Australian screens. That is happening tonight, 7:30 p.m. on Channel 10. One of our favourites joins us now. Andy Allen is here.
Oh, get the clap. Yes. Thank you.
What MasterChef series is this?
16.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's a store. That's insane.
Yeah. Just keeps on kicking along.
I remember when we first started the project, I think it was the night that Julie won which must have been the first season.
Yeah, 16 years ago.
Wow, that's amazing. A lot of stuff. How many have you been involved in now?
Contestant on season 4, yep. And then since 2020. And then we did like a junior MasterChef, celebrity MasterChef in there as well. So this is my 7th season if you count them.
Have you pitched any other iterations that haven't got up? Have
you what do you got?
Drunken MasterChef.
Oh, I knew where to go there with you.
I just think you could be a judge. You've got so much experience.
Well, that's true. Mm. I just think sometimes masterpieces get made at 2 a.m. with limited things available in a pantry.
It's very true. And also some disasters.
Sorry, mainly disasters.
Yes.
Yes, I think it may be the drunken eyes that think, oh, this is beautiful.
Yes, yep.
And then you see it in the morning, you go, what did I put in my body?
Yeah, I've been guilty of putting Vegemite in a cocktail in the wee hours of the morning, and it did not work. I thought I was killing it.
In a like blender or
yes,
just?
Yes.
Oh, gross. Yeah, what were you going for? What
I can't remember, which is probably a good thing.
I can see though, I can still see because I'd think at that stage, well, salted caramel's kind of a thing. It'll give something a bit of bite.
Yeah.
It'll be a mixture of flavors. Yeah. Say, all this stuff. I don't even know what it means.
Yeah. And three of my mates who I fed it to were like, yeah, this is delicious. And I could just tell. I knew it was bad.
But honestly, if you made me anything because you'd
be like, this is great.
You could actually serve me dog shit. And I'd be like, well, it's nutty. And that really, really comes through.
Thank you.
My mother would be like, that's delicious.
Does your mum, like, so do people cook for you or no longer?
Nah, so actually funny story about my mum. She was probably the reason that I got into cooking because she can't boil water. She's terrible. Dad was okay. Had a repertoire of about 5 dishes, batched them, and we'd eat them for a month.
What were they? Like, well, give
a minestrone.
Minestrone. That's not a main meal.
It is. A good one is hearty and delicious.
Like, soup's not food.
Nah, this Rican green chicken curry where he like boiled beans and broccoli in it and used chicken breast till it was like,
couldn't tell it was beans and broccoli,
And he did a spag bowl as every dad does. But anyway, back to mum. So she actually appears on this season.
Really?
Oh.
So we go from Jamie Oliver to my mum straight after.
But is she judging what she's doing?
She's a guest judge. The episode kind of formulates around like where you started from, right. Where I started from. You know, you don't have to be eating Michelin star food at the age of 4 years old.
Here's my mum and her shit cooking.
Here's
look
my
where
and her
I am
shit
now.
Cooking. Exactly right.
Well, I didn't realise I was looking at the brief that we get on you. I don't know how I missed the fact that you were an electrician.
Yeah, I was a sparky. Yeah.
Yeah. So was it honestly MasterChef? Where you just used to cook for fun.
So I actually
Oh, this is a scoop. I actually went on MasterChef as a $500 dare from one of my mates when I was 23 years old. Yeah.
Dare isn't meant to be. Dares are meant to be bad things.
I think he thought it was going to be hilarious, it was.
And he'd be like, "Oh, boys, watch this. I got it. Andy's going to suck." Yeah. And then it's like, you know, he's gone on to have a really successful career from that dare. Yeah, and they have to give him $500.
Yeah, I won $100,000, and I still took his $500.
Do you think there's a meal, and I was thinking about this when you said the other day in studio that, and I don't know the thing is that you made it with, you made a carbonara and you said you used something I'd never heard of.
Oh, Andy, no guanciale.
Okay,
guanciale.
Now I don't even know what that is.
Pig's cheek, cured pig's cheek.
So I grew up making a carbonara just with bacon and obviously with egg, like most people did until we all discovered, you know, cream? Meant to, and cream.
What do you mean you're meant to use egg?
Oh, sorry, is it cream you're not meant to use? Cream. Anyway, it was egg and cream and all the things Mum used to put in there. But I still think the idea of that big, fatty, gristly stuff versus the old school bacon, is there some recipes that are just better basic and not fancy?
Our dear friend, Joxon Frillo, would be turning at the moment.
I know,
the thought of you with cream and bacon and all that other garbage that you just mentioned. It is eggs, cheese and guanciale.
Yes. So you can't just make it with normal bacon and it be delicious?
That's
you have
not
to-
a carbonara. That's like some weird... Your version.
Andy, you would have seen the clip, I can't remember the chef's name, where the host says on the TV show to this famous chef, you know, oh, you could put ham in it. And he looks at her and he goes, if my grandmother has wheels, she would be a bike.
You can do anything and make something.
It's just a different.
Okay, well, I was just trying to say that maybe some things are better, just not so fancy, but obviously not.
No, you're just making a different thing.
Fine.
That is not as good.
You're never welcome to come to my house and have it. And you probably wouldn't want to have it. It's pretty basic. Hey, we do want to chat to you a bit more about a jog, obviously, coming up to the anniversary of his passing. It's obviously bittersweet for you being back doing this. Can you stick with us? We're just going to take a break.
Sure. I can do it. Carrie
and Tommy. Right around Australia, it's Carrie and Tommy with MasterChef premiering tonight at 7:30 on 10 and 10 Play. We have Judge Andy Allen with us.
Yes, welcome, Andy. Obviously, back for a new season of MasterChef, which is brilliant, but very bittersweet for you to be back doing the show without your bestie.
Yeah, it's like you say, it's nearly a year, which sometimes it feels like yesterday and other times it feels like it was a long, long time ago. It was hard. It was really hard. I didn't actually know if I was going to do it again. It just felt so wrong to do it without him. Because we just loved it so much together. And just walking back into that kitchen was like huge. It was like, there was just this weight of like grief over me.
Were you worried you're just going to cry the whole time?
I just didn't know if I'd be able to get through it.
Yeah.
You know, and I just didn't know if I'd be able to do it justice. Like maybe be able to give the show what it needed because there was so much grief attached to that kitchen. But I think it only lasted until it was a hard first scene. I'm literally the only person in the kitchen, just myself.
Oh my God.
No contestants.
And your thoughts and a big room of
no
memory.
No contestants. You know, I obviously the contestants come in first, but for a good 5 minutes, it's just me. And it just was like, whoa. You know, then in come the contestants and it just all clicked into gear. And there was definitely times like throughout the series and I just couldn't tell when it was going to hit, but the grief just got me.
Did you speak to anyone before about when you were making the decision about whether to come back?
Yeah. Mostly my wife. I spoke to Loz as well, Jock's wife, and just the people around me, my parents.
And they would have all said, surely.
Yeah, just like it's what he would have wanted.
Yeah.
You know, like, and 100% it's what he would have wanted. My only fear was that I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like I just couldn't be what it needed me to be. So that was my only question. But that kitchen is just it's a special place where like as soon as you get in there, as soon as shit starts happening, you're just swept up in it all. And it's just – that for me is like the true significance of what the kitchen is about.
Yeah.
It's just grief hit me at times, but for 90% of the time, I was just in it. You know, I was just there and doing it for him.
It's nice to see you looking so good. I obviously saw you a bit around that time, and to say that I was worried about you was probably an understatement. Mm. But it's great to see your smiling face.
Yeah,
and I'm so happy that this is coming back on air. And I think you're right. It is exactly what he would have wanted. Yeah. But also, I have a memory from this show that will make me laugh forever, which is a cook-off that you and Jock had. And you're an amazing cook, right? But you were sweating bullets and, yeah, we're running around the kitchen and grabbing stuff.
Yeah.
And Jock was just very calmly mixing a few things together.
Being a wanker, that's what he was doing. Yeah, but they were some of my favourite memories. Us in the kitchen, and especially when we got to cook together, when we versed the contestants, they were literally some of the best memories that I'll have of Jock, because we're so competitive. Like when we get in, but we just love doing it together. And it was really, really special, those moments. And they're like, you know, I think we did it 3 times, and I could replay those memories over and over and over each second, I reckon, because it was so much fun.
Occasionally, in work, you meet someone that becomes a very close friend, not just at work, but off air. And that was Jock for you guys. You were very, very close. Mm. What do you miss about him outside of the MasterChef kitchen?
Man, I go to text him all the time. Like, we always used to just, wherever we'd eat, whatever we would see, we would just constantly be conversing about food and if it was good, if it was bad, if it was shit, anything in between. Like, we just lived it for those 4 years. We just lived food and being around each other and being a part of each other's lives. And then, you know, me being part of his family and his kids' lives was really special as well. I miss that. I miss Jock, like, being a father, because he really was a role model, like, for me as someone who doesn't have kids but wants to have kids. I just miss seeing him with his kids. That's the shit thing for me.
And I think everyone forgets, like, the world moves on, because that's what happens in life. Mm. But the world hasn't moved on for Jock's family, for you guys who had a normal weekend routine or how often you saw each other. That just continues to happen, but with a huge hole in it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think people forget that. Like, how's Lauren doing? Is she okay?
She's good. Like, she's such a strong beast of a woman. Like, she surprises me so much with how she can deal with this. Yeah. You know, like, there are times when it is really tough. It's, you know, I feel like there's times for me when it's really tough, but then you would multiply the amount of grief that she has to deal with on a more frequent basis as well, and she just seems to be able to deal with it really well. The silver lining of Jock's passing is that it has really brought me closer to Lauren and to Alfie and Isla and Ava as well. I've really enjoyed that part of kind of, you know, just really strengthening that relationship and being there for those guys. And yeah, I hope he's kind of looking down going, I'm really, really proud of you, of what you've done, both with my family and then my extended family on MasterChef.
You have to teach them to cook.
Yeah, well, Alfie's probably already a weapon. You know, he cooks epic crepes that Jock taught him.
Does he?
Yeah, yeah.
How old is he?
He's 5 now.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. What were you cooking at 5? Epic crepes?
Oh, no. No, but no one in my house is crepes.
I don't reckon many 5-year-olds.
Were like your parents. I was having Weet-Bix with water.
Yeah, and if it was anything in a pan, it was like that shitty pancake mix.
And yeah, Alan, you're a great man. We can't wait to see the new season of MasterChef. It premieres tonight, 7:30 on 10 and 10 Play. Andy, thank you, brother.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, guys. Gary and
Tommy. Of course, Leroy is filling in for the wonderful Jesse today, who said he has, I'm never sure how to say it, diarrhea.
Diarrhea. To be fair, I don't know how to spell diarrhea. It's one of those words, that and hemorrhage.
Oh,
which are very different areas of the body. I'm sure you can hemorrhage from that area. But either way, both tricky words.
I also find restaurant and receipt hard. So if I got diarrhea
at a restaurant
and wanted a receipt for it and I had to write that down, I'd be in
trouble. How do you spell diarrhea?
D-I-O.
No.
I said, I don't know what's next.
No, D-I-H. See, it's a tricky word.
You're getting sidetracked.
D-I-A, is it? Dyer. Yeah. Anyway.
S-H-I-T.
Yeah.
Yes. be still, my beating heart. Did you see the video on the weekend?
What have you seen of me?
David Beckham.
No.
He was at Victoria's 50th and the Spice Girls all got together and did Stop Right Now dance in the background, and he filmed it. Oh, he's so good. He's so smart to know that all the ladies of the world would like to see his wife and the girls dancing in a lounge room. I'm not sure whose lounge room it was. You know, the girls back together.
Isn't this, and I can't believe you're pushing this agenda, but isn't it a great example of the patriarchy? You've got five incredible women who have achieved amazing stuff in the music world, and all you're focusing on is the man filming.
No, can I tell you why I'm focusing?
You said, isn't he amazing?
Can I tell you why I'm focusing on the man filming?
Isn't he incredible?
No, can I tell you why I'm focusing on the man filming? Because any woman will know there is barely any video or photos of them with their kids or having fun, because they're always the one taking the pictures. There's so many photos of dads and their kids everywhere,
I
right?
I agree with that.
So the fact that in that moment he puts up
himself
his phone
at the front of it.
They're barely in it. At one stage he turns around, it's just his face.
And he filmed them. I'm like,
he
captured
didn't.
A moment.
He
it meant
himself.
They didn't have to selfie themselves dancing. They could just be free and dance.
He could have just not been in it and filmed
them. No, but
them.
He knows we want him in it too. He knows what the women want, you know. He gave us what we want, and all
the
I'm here is to say is thank you.
Don't even want the footage of the women.
Yeah, they do. But we just imagine ourselves doing the dance.
Yeah, we don't really care
if they're there.
So are we playing some Spice Girls?
We are. Stop right now.
To get to the good stuff faster, start at budgettrucks.com.au. Carrie and Tommy.
It's the best competition in radio.
This is the best competition you've ever had.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God.
Carrie and Tommy's time game.
Oh, mate, you make our dreams come true.
All you need to do is say stop.
Stop.
On exactly 5 seconds. And doing just that, exactly that, could change your life forever. Because today, the time game has jackpotted to
$100,000.
Gary and Tommy's $100,000 time game.
Oh, yeah. Maddie, how does $100,000 sound?
It sounds amazing.
What would you spend the cash on?
Oh, new car, holiday, cruise. It's endless.
How much is the most you've earned before in 5 seconds?
$2?
That's quite a lot, actually.
When you do the math on what that out, yes. I was doing it in my head, but I'm not quick enough for that. But yeah, yes.
That's $24 a minute.
Yes. Maddie, what do you do for jobs?
I'm a delivery driver. Great. So, yeah, time's a little helpful for me. But
1,400.
$1,400 an hour. Wow. Is it? Yeah, that's pretty good, Matty. You're earning $1,400 an hour. Hey, Matty, are you ready to play? You know exactly what you have to do. When you hear start, you will say stop after 5 seconds, hopefully. If you bang on, the cash is yours. If not, you get kicked out the moon door to your untimely death. But due to your wage that we've just learnt, you'll be leaving a huge amount of cash to your family.
Yes, I'm ready and nervous.
Good, you'll be right. Good luck.
Start.
Stop.
Oh, I felt a tiny
felt a
bit long.
A little on the long side.
Are you often late with the deliveries or on time, Matt?
Next question.
For $100,000, how did our boy Matty go?
6.45.
Oh, well.
Oh, no, there's all those deliveries that aren't going to make it this afternoon as well.
No,
that's fine. Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, sorry. Yep. Yeah. Our musculate is on holidays today, and so Leroy's doesn't know that we boot them to their death.
So as soon as they
it's hard.
As soon as we say
train.
Goodbye,
oh, that's
you've
it.
Got to
they don't get
them.
A,
no, no. You have to physically kick them.
So when we kick them, you need to hear them going, no!
Righto.
Got it.
Cool. Let's try that with Trisha. Trisha, how are you?
Good luck, everybody.
Hello. Good, thank you.
Yeah, it's tricky trying to explain to someone new why we would kill people for not getting the time game right.
Game of Thrones style. I like it.
It is tough. How are you, Trisha?
I'm well, thank you. How are you both?
Oh, Trisha, I'm very well. Thank you for asking.
Oh, that's my pleasure.
I hope you win $100,000.
Yeah, unfortunately, sucking up to us doesn't get you the 100K.
Yeah, I know.
Trisha, you're nervous. Your laughter sounds like a nervous one.
I'm really nervous.
Hey,
yeah.
you've got nothing to be nervous about.
Okay.
It's only $100,000, and if you don't get it, you fall a couple of kilometres onto a pile of bodies.
Right. Sounds a good option.
Yeah, okay. Trisha, are you ready to go?
I am.
Start.
Stop.
Oh, that felt good.
Did it?
Oh. That felt good.
Oh, I don't know.
Felt a little on the short side.
Did
and
it?
The problem, yeah. The problem is, Trish, because our ferret is away today, the person keeping the time is his, it's a pet, what do you call yourself?
Ruff.
You, you're a dog, are you?
Are you a dog? He's got friends. He's got fairy friends.
Did you panic?
I panicked.
Just tell them what you are.
I'm a little puppy.
A little puppy.
What is he?
Dog.
A little puppy.
He's a little puppy.
Ferrets can have pets, can't they?
Hey?
Ferrets can have pets.
Well, they can have friends.
They can have friends.
Yeah, yeah. Friends, fairy friends.
Oh,
yeah.
An abusive relationship.
No one. Really, we should have all had our meeting about our respective roles before we... Trisha, that nervous eye. Yes. Still going because you don't know whether or not you've won $100,000.
Oh, no.
We're talking about muskets and little dogs.
Yeah.
There it is again. For our $100,000, how did Trisha go?
5.081.
Oh, no.
She's so lovely. Christy, how are you, Christy?
Hello.
How much do you want? Five. Oh, sorry. I was about to say.
Oh, my God.
$5. It's 100K, Christy. How would you like 100K?
Lots.
What are you doing with it?
Like, first thing was paying off debt.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd probably get my daughter her first car.
Oh.
Take them on a holiday. Yeah.
Wow.
Do you buy?
Yeah, it's been a tough year, so it's just me and them now, so I'd probably treat them.
Oh, well, Christy, we hope you win the money, so we're sending you all the love and all the best of luck, okay? Are you ready to go?
Well, thank you. I'm also sending the best of luck to Jesse's manhood.
Yeah, I know. I know. It wasn't...
I hope that makes him feel better.
Poor Jesse doesn't know what's happening. He's just turned on the radio to listen from home because he's sick, and now everyone's wishing him good luck.
Also,
he's just got a cold.
Christy, I know this is an overshare, Christy, but it was what you'd call a renovator's delight to start with. So let's hope they can salvage whatever's left.
Christy, fingers crossed, yeah.
Christy, are you ready to go?
No, but let's do it.
Start.
Oh. Oh. Oh my gosh. Our little puppy, he's gone big eyes.
He's gone round and round and round. And you know, they go around the room and they get excited.
You don't have to.
Oh, guys, come on.
No, it means it's close, Christy. I don't know what it is. Carrie can't see the number. I can't see the number.
I can only see the fluffy little excited puppy.
Yes, he's only so the canine.
Can I give him a little scratch under his chin? Oh, okay.
You've been told off by HR for far less.
What was the ferret, though? This is the puppy.
Oh. Just because it's a different animal. How did Christy go for $100,000?
5.
Oh, that's a good start.
Point.
Yes.
5.5.
Oh.
I'll stop.
100K tomorrow. Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on socials at Carrie Tommy Show.
Bye.
Bye.